Ryan Hockensmith, you're here to tell us the story of a UFC fighter who is competing this weekend that you are obsessed with. What is this guy's name?
Well, his legal name is Sam Alvey. His nickname is Smiling Sam Alvey, though. He exists in this world of fighters that are just like predators and axe murderers and all these other like terrifying right. nicknames.
Yeah, Quentin Rampage Jackson or the natural born killer Carlos Condit. Yeah, these are the sorts of things that you hear.
Yeah, his dad actually suggested maybe the Grin Reaper. Could we mix two things? The Grin Reaper?
I kind of like that one.
He went through all of those options and he ultimately settled on, I'm a smiling, happy guy. I'm not going to pretend to be something that I'm not.
I may not be the greatest fighter that's ever lived, but I am one of the more memorable fighters. Well, I truly feel 20 years from now, people will still remember Smiling Sam.
And so he picked the name Smiling Sam Alvey. He got on social media and spelled it wrong on all of his handles. But
how did he spell it wrong?
Well, it's S-M-I-L-E-N. S-A-M, I think, on Instagram. And he has some remorse about that, but in the way that, like, he's such a happy guy. He's like,
yeah that's almost it's almost endearing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I kind of butchered this, but hey, I'm happy about it anyway. And so I got really interested in that. I mean, just the contrast between, oh, I elbow strike people for a living, and I'm also super happy.
I get recognized everywhere I go. I'm a tall, athletic looking ginger chubby kid. And more times than not, people say, oh, Smiley, right? So yeah, that's me. I said, oh man, I'm a huge fan. Never met anyone that says, oh yeah, you're terrible. They're always a fan.
I thought, man, I gotta go visit this guy. And that's how I ended up in a farm in the middle of nowhere in Central Tennessee with Smiling Sam Alvey.
So this farm in Central Tennessee, what's it like?
Well, it's a beautiful place out in the middle of Tennessee.
So do you have to feed the chickens or do they basically find their own stuff?
We still feed them. Yeah. Okay.
Big farm, lots of open air.
Oh, this is their chicken house?
This is their chicken coop.
But man, it's chaotic. He's got animals everywhere.
Holy crap. How many are in there?
So we have 30 chickens and 2 turkeys.
30 chickens, 2 turkeys. They all get along pretty good.
He's got horses and chickens and sheep.
And those are our geese. Wow, they make a hell of a racket, huh?
And then throw in, he's got 6 kids under the age of 10. So there's just like chewed up boys laying everywhere.
Man.
His wife is amazing.
I don't know how you're just going to like keep track of everybody.
GPS trackers?
Yeah, I guess you got to put a chip in them or something.
She's former America's Next Top Model winner.
Mm.
And it's just this wild and happy adventure that he invited me into. And I really had a fun time out there.
So he's presiding over this ecosystem.
Yes. It really is like an apartment complex stuffed into a zoo stuffed into one house out in the middle of Tennessee. It is just this amazing place of complete chaos, but also just so happy, so joyous, so free. It was just like I wanted to move in.
Ryan, you're painting the picture, the portrait of a guy who is clearly winning on like all levels.
Yeah, if you just saw him walking around his farm, you'd be like, well, how many weight classes does this guy have title belts in? This guy must not have, well, he must be rich and have won his last 25 fights. And it's just not true at all. He's actually on the brink of the worst winless streak in UFC history. He hasn't won a fight in over 4 years. 0-8 in his last 8 fights. He's got 1 draw in there. But I think I counted them up. There's been 10 MCU Universe movies since his last win.
That sounds, oh my God. Yeah, an entire multiverse has been born since Smiling Sam last won a fight, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it has been a long time. And just that idea of like, how can you be so happy while struggling in your profession? I mean, it's something all of us wrestle with.
It sounds, Ryan, like you went down to Tennessee on a particular personal mission too.
Yeah, I wanted to dig into this contrast between someone who is so incredibly happy and can't win a fight, can't win at his job. And I just wanted to go and stand in front of him and say, how are you doing this?
Okay, so look, we all want to win, right? We all want to win. There is no use denying it. It is Charles Darwin. It is the whole survival of the fittest thing. It is that old quote reminding us, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. You know, as if any of us, especially in sports, ever need reminding. But today, before he fights tomorrow night, possibly for the very last time, we want you to meet Sam Alvey, someone whose professional life exists in this almost heretical defiance of this entire dynamic. Someone who is truly struggling at work, risking a historic string of L's in public, but at the same time is maybe winning the only game that really matters. I'm Pablo Torre. It is Friday, August 5th. This is ESPN Daily.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you people wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first one or for your fashionista mom who likes to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate with them both. You can shop by price anywhere from $25 and under to, say, $100 and below. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, or even pre-wrapped gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So, what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
So Ryan Hockensmith, I think we just need a proper introduction to Sam Alvey here, who is fighting, by the way, against a Polish fighter, Michał Oleksiejczuk. I hope I got that right. Tomorrow night. And why is this fight on Saturday such a big deal? Why is it such a big milestone for Smile and Sam?
Well, he hasn't won in a very long time and is also, he's one of the longest tenured fighters in the UFC. I mean, getting to 20 UFC fights is very rare. And this is his 24th career UFC fight. Mm. It is a sport that just, a three-fight losing streak, a four-fight, five-fight losing streak. I mean, it is really hard to stick around. It is a cruel sport. It's win or go home. You know, when I counted up, I looked at some of the best fighters in UFC history, some of our favorites, you know, Brock Lesnar, Ronda Rousey, Bas Rutten.
Yeah.
They fought 18 times combined in the UFC.
Wait, all together, all we got was 18 fights out of those three stars of the sport.
That's all we got. You know, even the stars sometimes burn bright and then they're done. It is a very difficult sport. And he has not won a fight since the beginning of June in 2018. And I write in my story, that's right around the same time that Ben Simmons was named NBA Rookie of the Year. And the Browns had their savior quarterback. His name was Baker Mayfield.
Right. And all of this, the world, entire currencies have risen and fallen since then.
Yeah, I mean, in today's day and age, 4 years is, I mean, it's a lifetime. I mean, sometimes 4 weeks feels like that. And so the idea that he has not won in so long is just remarkable. And if he gets to nine, if he loses or has a draw this weekend, Saturday night's card, it's going to be the all-time UFC record. No one's ever had that many fights in a row without a win. And so It is not a record that, that he wants at all. And he knows that the stakes of this are, he's a little surprised he even got this fight on his contract. His quote to me was, "This is probably it for me, even if I win." He talked at times like he's got a lot left in the tank, but he also seemed resigned that this is probably it for him in the UFC.
And so let's go backwards then, before we get to the end here, Ryan. How did Smiling Sam Alvey get his start in professional MMA in the first place?
Well, he took any and every fight he could take as an amateur, and then he ended up as a contestant on The Ultimate Fighter in 2012, which is a good way to get in front of the boss.
Yeah, like the reality show program that dared, that invited people to try and be an MMA fighter.
Yeah, so he got on the UFC's radar. He lost pretty early in the show, and then he bounced around a little bit. But he got on a good win streak, and it ultimately got him into the UFC in 2014. And then, you know, in those 8 years, he's fought 23 times since then. So Alvey's been around. He trains at a good camp with Dan Henderson. People know his name. But his last win, June 1st, 2018, he won a split decision against John Volante.
Oh, your winner by split decision, Smiling Sam Alvey!
Sam Alvey, congratulations. You asked for this fight and you get the W here tonight. Your thoughts on the fight?
I did. Hell yeah, Utica! Woo!
And so June 1st, 2018 is the last time that he is declared a winner. He is victorious. He is 10-5, which is relatively respectable as a professional fighter. And then everything clearly just starts to go wrong.
There was a lot of hand unraising that has happened. His next fight got TKO'd.
Alvey is protesting. He is wobbly on his knees, having trouble getting up.
Fight after that, another TKO loss.
Alvey is done. Jimmy Crute 10-0.
And then a unanimous decision.
Sam Alvey seems absolutely stunned. Cleats and Abreu gets his first UFC win tonight.
And a bunch of split decisions. One was a draw.
Ladies and gentlemen, this bout is considered a split draw.
He had two submission losses in there.
Man, looks like he's out.
Yeah, he doesn't tap. He goes to sleep. Wow. Julian Marquez submits Sam Alvey.
A lot of the fights were very close. They're kind of heartbreaking coin flips that he just came up on the wrong side every time. The one that aggravated him, like the smile went away for 5 seconds, was when he talked about his fight from last August when he fought Wellington Turman.
And look at the push on that head, Alvey. Yeah. Some nice position here. He's able to reverse position all the way around.
Nice work there from Alvey.
It was a very close fight. Sam outlanded Turman 69-68, so it was very close. But Turman got dinged he got warned, and then he lost 2 points for repeated eye pokes.
Mm. And another.
Time! Oh, man.
Now, this is interesting. Right, he's been warned right so here. Often.
1 point eye poke, okay? I told you, no more warnings. Okay?
So listen.
You have to be careful with the fingers.
He just kept jabbing Alvey in the eye.
Stop! This round.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, time. My word.
Wellington. I mean, this changes the whole fight if he takes another point.
You just got him in the eye again. Stop arguing.
It sucks to get jabbed in the eye for anybody.
I'm told. Yeah.
Allegedly.
He's a dirty cheater. And
really?
Yeah, he's a dirty cheater. He poked me in the eye 6 times. I still lost the fight because the judges in the UFC are garbage.
He ended up losing on a bizarre series of scores, 27-28 on two cards, and then one judge had him up 28-27.
And Alvey is just livid right now after that result.
All these judges, yeah.
So literally and figuratively, the outcome of this fight feels like a finger in the eye.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he got pretty aggravated talking about that fight, but it was short-lived. He's so chill. He's so chill about, like, what is a bitter loss, you know, for most athletes. I mean, think about most athletes.
I mean, Michael Jordan is still lording over slights as a JV player decades later.
Can you imagine if, like, Kevin Durant lost in the NBA Finals and got eye poked a bunch of times and missed some shots? I mean, oh my God, how long? It would take him years of therapy to get through that.
Yeah, Ryan, at this point in this losing streak, I would imagine if I was Smiling Sam Alvey, I would begin to wonder, like, should I have taken all of these fights in the first place?
Yeah, and his answer is yes, I'm taking every fight ever offered to me. But we had a really interesting part of this conversation that I think applies to all human beings that have had a job. You know, the UFC is a workplace that has a boss. And we all, you know, at various times in our career have wrestled with the conundrum of like, this would make my boss happy, but it might not be the best thing for my personal individual career.
Right.
And right. Alvi has just made the boss happy over and over again. He has taken every fight.
My last few fights have not gone according to plan. I keep expecting the UFC to cut me. But like in my last 8 fights, all of them were short notice. None of them were the guy I was supposed to fight. And 4 of them, I think I won.
It doesn't matter if he doesn't have enough time to study film of the guy. It doesn't matter how much he weighs. I mean, he cuts a lot of weight to get down to 185. He just always says, yes, I'll figure it out later. A lot of them, I mean, even his camp, even Sam himself will admit, probably shouldn't have taken that one. It cost me. I got submitted or knocked out.
I love saying yes to fights. I saw the fight. It's like, I'm better than this guy. He can't take me down. I said, man, I'm going to win this fight on 10 days. I'm going to have so much money. And then you go out there and I screw it up.
He's wrestling with like something that I think applies to so many of us out there, which is just navigating the workplace and thinking about yourself, but also the team.
Yeah, so Sam Alvi is eagerly taking the assignments that others may not want, it sounds like. And I wonder, Ryan, if his bosses appreciate this. Do they notice this? What's their relationship like between Sam and, I presume, Dana White, in this case, the president of the UFC?
Yeah, Dana and the matchmakers, they love him. They love a guy that'll step up and take a fight. And after his last fight, he thought, well, this is probably it for me. And then he got a call where they said, hey, we're going to keep you. You got one more fight on your contract. We're going to let you fight it out.
They actually called and told me, you've had some bad calls. There's been some fights that we think you won. You're always entertaining. You're always good to go. And he said, probably more than anything, is you are one of the most enjoyable fighters to work with on the roster.
They said to him flat up, we really like you. Like, we just like, we like being around you. Like, you are nice. You know, you are nice.
You show up with a smile on your face. You show up wanting to be as nice and as kind to everyone in the organization. And most people don't.
I guess my mom is right that being nice pays off sometimes.
Yeah, it's something.
And he's just so nice to everybody. The best example of it was him and his wife, McKee, they sit down and they write notes at Christmas time to about 90 different UFC employees.
Mm.
They include a photo of their family, all smiling, of course, all smiling Alvies. They throw a $5 Starbucks gift card in there and they send it off. And I said, oh, you do that for everybody? Even Dana gets a $5 Starbucks? And Sam was like, well, he gets 10.
Wow.
They double it for the boss. But it was just like, again, an example of like, what's the answer to some of life's toughest questions? It's be kind.
Coming up, what Sam Alvi gets for stepping into the octagon.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Ryan, something I appreciate now about MMA that I didn't know before is just how relatively special it is to be a long-term, like, workaday professional MMA fighter. Like, that's just not a job, for various reasons, that gets to live for such a long period of time. What does Sam Alvey get paid for his troubles doing that?
We really got into the finances of MMA, which is a constant topic. There's a lot of criticism of the UFC for not paying guys enough. And
right.
It's a constant source of tension. He's a really interesting figure in that because he's definitely pro UFC. He loves the UFC. He takes any fight. He takes whatever money they'll give him. So for this fight, he's worked his way up to the place where he's going to get $75,000 to fight. And the UFC does win bonuses. So if he wins, he gets another $75,000. He makes about $21,000, I think, for wearing the sponsorship gear they ask you to wear into the cage. And then he thinks he's going to put on an exciting fight, which makes him eligible for some of the big $50,000 or so fight bonuses. So he's an optimistic guy. So when we were riding around in his truck and I said, hey, how much do you think you're going to make for this fight? He added it all up and he thought it was going to be over $200,000 for this fight, which might be his last one. And so, you know, if you want to make a comparison, you know, we had some back and forth conversations where I was like, that's still not enough, is it?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't know if the dollar per injury exchange rate there makes me feel great if I'm Smiling Sam.
Yeah, I mean, so we went back and forth about that. I voiced some of the things that other fighters say, which is like the best UFC fighters fight 3 or 4 times a year. They pay all the expenses of their camp and their trainers. And, you know, there's NFL players that are barely making rosters and making $800,000 in a year. So like, you know, grinding it out, it's possible that he walks out of there with like $95,000, not $225,000.
I know people like to complain about it, but the UFC does pay well. We wouldn't have the life we have if it wasn't for the UFC, if it wasn't for what they had seen in me and allowed me to do. And so it really, and it's from everyone, from Dana White down to, you know, the janitor.
And Ryan, to be clear, this is not a universally held opinion among UFC fighters at all. Lots of them are explicitly dissatisfied with what they get paid, right?
I gave him a hard time about it, but he's like really hard to argue with. He's just so nice, smiles the whole time. I'm like, you're wrong, aren't you? You know, what about this fighter who said this? He's like, nah, I love it, man. And that's it.
Well, speaking of arguing with the guy, what does his wife say about this? How does their dynamic feel to you, Sam, as she was the person who might have objections that he does actually have to sustain and abide by?
I think she might be happier than him, honestly. Like, they're just like, they just roll with the punches. So, I mean, literally roll with the punches. And
yeah,
they love their kids and their farm and their life. And they just, you know, you can haggle with them about like, don't you think you should make this amount of money? Or what are you going to do? What if you get cut from the UFC? What's next? They're like, we're going to be fine, dude. And you end up believing them. Like, they're so happy you believe in their happiness.
Yeah, how did their love bloom, Ryan? Where does a relationship like that get born?
Well, they met where so many Americans meet these days, which is a Wisconsin Renaissance fair.
There's no love like Ren Fair love. Yeah.
Absolutely. He was selling steak on a stick, which I said, hey, what is steak on a stick? And he said, well, it's some kind of meat that's on a stick. he said it was pretty good. They met, they went to a beautiful truck stop around the corner and had some coffee, and they've been together ever since. You know, she was on America's Next Top Model, so she had literally spent months away from him trying to win that, be on that show, and he's at the same time in fight camp. And so they have this like amazing relationship. They just keep coming back to each other.
Yeah, two reality show vets just getting along.
The thing that I found the most interesting when I was down there was I went to watch him spar for a while, and he's sparring, and I must not have caught it, but like a couple minutes later, his wife, McKee, shows up and comes into the gym, and I see her, like, she puts a newborn baby, 3-week-old Evander, down in like a baby carrier and starts strapping up. And I'm like, what's happening here? And before I knew it, she's out there kickboxing and she's fighting Sam. They're jabbing, they're throwing punches at each other.
Yeah, I
your wife gave you a pretty good body kick.
Oh, she got me twice today. Well, the second time really closed my legs down.
Did it get you in the stomach?
Yeah, it was like right in the
In the stomach. Okay.
She hit it once and it softened me, and she got it the second time and took the air out of me.
Wow.
they didn't go hard at each other, but I was just like, I mean, I wrote in the story, like, the family that spars together stays together, I guess. I don't know.
Is there something, this is going to sound weird, is there something a little romantic about sparring together? Like, is it
spend some time together?
You said it's, like, the longest eye contact you've had in a while, right?
Yeah. No, we're just constantly moving. So if I'm working out, she's usually with the kids. She's working out, I got to be with the kids.
And this couple that, again, to reiterate something you said earlier, has six kids under 10, is somehow managing all of this on this farm that you got to spend some time with them on.
It's intense. I mean, I have three kids, and it's just staying calm and patient and nice.
Man, I have one, and I feel your pain. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that, like, really hit me hard from an existential place is this idea of, like, when chaos breaks out, you can either get chaotic also and just yell louder than your kid, or you can, like, kindness and calmness is kind of an infectious disease. And I saw that over and over again. And I was just like, maybe the answer isn't raise your voice. Maybe it's lower it. And then they lower their voice.
So after spending 3 days with this family on their farm, Ryan, what is your theory of their success? Like, what's their secret as you've come to understand it?
Well, when we were driving, I just kept asking Sam the same question over and over again, which is like, dude, what is happening? How are you so happy right now? Stop being so nice. I don't understand it. And he gave me a quote from that his mom told him when he was really little, which was, Sam, don't sweat the small things.
Yeah, my mom always said, don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff.
And she said, and Sam, they're all small things.
Mm.
And I was just like, okay, that's great. I'll write that on my notebook and not live it.
People say that. It's hard to actually live it for a lot of us normal people.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm almost frustratingly to people, I'm sure, water off the back. Hey, I'm not going to get that mad. Nothing's going to hold me down for that long. I know at the end of the day, whatever is bad, it could be worse. It could be a lot worse. Whatever it is small stuff.
This guy actually lives it. You know, when you think about what you want your obituary to say about you, you know, a lot of us would probably want, you know, I had three kids and I worked at this place forever. I won this award. He wants people to think that he was kind. That's it. That's the tombstone. I was nice to people. It made me just think about, like, man, the answer to almost any question is blank, 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 but be nice.
Yeah, it sounds like the crossroads he is standing at right now, where Saturday might be the end of the road, Ryan. It sounds like he's not processing that the way you'd expect a normal, typical person to.
No, not at all. One of the scariest things in life for any person is uncertainty. And he's like going in there with high stakes. He really needs to win money-wise and prestige-wise, all of it. But he's just like, we'll see what happens. I'll never forget at the very end, I asked him a question about struggling so bad in MMA and maybe being out of a job and what are you going to do next? And he had some ideas about that, but I was just like, yeah, but what's the game plan, Sam? He just looked at me and he said, I'm smiling Sam Alvey, baby. And he just smiled and he knows he's going to be okay.
Smiling Ryan Hawkinsmith, thank you for telling us this story.
Always. Thank you.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily, and our show is produced by Bradford Craig, Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Heather Lombardo, Ryan Nantel, Mike Philbrick, Andy Tennant, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vail. Special thanks this week to Andre Soto, Jim Briggs, Jalen Harris, Ty Reeves, and Jackson Ajulo. We'll talk to you Monday.